Hola, my friends. Just a few things I want to talk about on this podcast. I just got inspired by, having my buddy Michael Schertzer on the podcast yesterday, breaking down how he's Jewish and, pro-Palestine. And I just want to talk about how we all seem to be, going against our morals. And I just kind of wanted to talk about how I view that and, what tactics are being used to convince good people like us to support shitty fucking people as if they're like one of our family members or some shit. Let's do this.
Public Yemeni number one.
Is it recording now? It still says it's muted. Can y'all hear me? All right, good. Oh, what is up, everybody? I hope you guys are doing good. I hope you're healthy. I hope you're not being scared shitless by this entire shitstorm that's coming at us. I've been feeling pretty good these last couple of weeks, because like I said in the previous podcast, I've been taking care of myself. I've been making sure to work out, and I'm back on my workout. I'm back on my good vitamin regimen, meal prepping, so I'm eating out less. I'm just doing that self-care stuff. Another thing I just realized is I need to stop saying the word fuck. I love it. I really do love that word, but too much. I'm laying it on too thick. This is what's good about self-reflection, every so often. That's why I like smoking weed. Because, weed, man, makes my brain cave in on itself. And it allows me to go, it allows my brain to take over and go, hey, man, just want you to know, you're still a piece of shit. Don't get caught up and take yourself too seriously, because you got a lot to work on. I think that's healthy, Because I was listening to the podcast that I did with Michael Schertzer yesterday so I could figure out what clips to pull out. And man, was I dropping the F word all the time. I do like it, but in anything, if you do something too much, it ruins it, right? Too much of a good thing is not good. Then it just doesn't make that thing even worth it. It's like simple economics, right? It's like supply and demand, right? If people are demanding you to cuss, but you don't really supply them with it too much, now the value of that goes up, right? Simple economics. But I listened to that, man, and I was just like, yo, dude, you are just dropping way too many F-bombs. And, the stuff that I was asking in terms of the questions I was asking Michael Schertzer were good. I liked it. I liked how we were steering the conversation and bringing up certain topics and, inspiring him to go off on stuff that he, probably wasn't planning on talking about, And I thought that was great. I felt like when I actually listened to that podcast, I'm like, yo, you conducted yourself as an interviewer pretty well. I could definitely do better. But man, those F-bombs, man. Those F-bombs came in, I was just like, ugh. I need to fix that. What's up, Bolty? Good to see you here, brother. Good to see you here, man. Bolty, you said yesterday your computer was crashing while we were talking about Palestine and Israel. And it, right around the time when Michael Schertzer was making the point that, he believes that, pro-Zionist people online are mobilizing to take his stuff down. And he showed us some really good examples. But then it was funny. Then all of a sudden, Bolty comes out and was like, yeah, man, my computer crashed two times while watching this. Yeah, I want to lean on the side of saying that seems a little far-fetched. But at the same time, I was giving it some thought, and it really isn't far-fetched if you think about it, because there are people online that vehemently use the current system online to silence certain people, right? And there are definitely people out there who will hate that someone like Michael Schertzer is out there doing what he's doing, being a Jewish American who talks poorly about Israel's treatment of the Palestinians. And, you know, I gave it some thought and I was like, it's very easy now to do that, right? Especially when you claim anti-Semitism and racism, right? I think like stuff online gets shut down first. Then they review it, then they put it back up. And I think that the people that actually do it, you know, are a lot of them just regular people. They'll see something that they don't like, and then they go, hey, you need to just, you know, take this down. And if you're not going to take it down, I'm going to flag it, say that it's racist and anti-Semitic, which gets it taken down immediately until they review it. And then however long it takes them to review it and put it back up, now you're not getting as many views as you should have, right? And it's amazing. It really is amazing to wrap your mind around how easy it is right now online to shut people down. Like, I got put in Facebook jail multiple times. One time it was because I told Brandon Bricks, a friend and a fellow comic, online, we were just, you know, talking shit to each other back and forth on Facebook on a comment. And then at the end of the thread, I said, bitch, I'm gonna kill you. And I got suspended for 7 days for threatening violence. And then another time was a picture with words on it that my friend Jihad posted. And it said, would you run around naked for 3 minutes for $70 million? And my response was, have you seen me naked? I would do it for free. I got put in Facebook jail for sexual solicitation. How dumb that damn computer is. Sexual solicitation? Apparently, the algorithm doesn't know how sexual solicitation works, because I said I'd do it for fucking free, bro. Anyways, so after talking to Michael Schertzer yesterday, it was really interesting. It was really interesting, and you know, marinating on the things that we talked about, it really put me into this perspective for this podcast, how I want to talk about, you know, how we are fucking getting manipulated. See, I said the F word again. But see, the F word is a good, like, emphasis word. But I am using it too much. How we are being manipulated from all angles to go against the things that we truly believe in. You know, to sacrifice saving face. You know? And that's what I want to talk about. Because, you know, when I was talking to Michael Schertzer yesterday about the whole Palestine-Israel issue, you know, the question always rings in my head, how do you get people who are good people if you meet them individually? How do you get good moral people to become evil in specific moments of times? It's like a psych job that they play on us, which hypnotizes us to open our brains to manipulation, and we allow them to manipulate us. And then now here we are, good moral people, but then we are upholding these leaders and politicians who are not. And deep down we know it, but yet we open our fucking minds up to this massive hypnosis that's happening. And I'm going to play you a video that we played at the last podcast, because this really blew me away. Speaking of manipulation, so I think that, you know, when I labeled this podcast Dancing with the Devil, you know, what I mean is that how is it that we're coaxed to dance with the devil? And I believe it's shame. I believe shame is at the core of this, from my opinion. And I kind of wanted to break it down. So I want to show you a video that we played yesterday at the podcast. And this was, you know, me asking him the question, how is it that Israel can convince the world, and specifically white people, and how do they guilt them into just allowing Israel to do what they're doing to the Palestinians, which is very similar to what the Nazis was doing to the Jews in all throughout Europe. So he brought up this video from NPR, where an Israeli official, according to Michael Schertzer, a woman who worked with the, the media department or the, I don't know. But anyways, she on NPR gets asked the question, you know, why is it that everyone gets labeled anti-Semitic if they criticize Israel's actions? And I was blown away hearing this lady, this Israeli lady, saying everything what all of us Arabs and people who know what's going on have been saying all along. And that is, those assholes in Israel are using the Holocaust to shame us so that they can fucking continue their fucking genocide and ethnic cleansing of another group of people that they feel are lesser than them. So listen to this Israeli official. Just break it down without even trying to hide it. It's sickening.
Often when there is dissent expressed in the United States against policies of the Israeli government, people here are called anti-Semitic. What is your response to that as an Israeli Jew?
Well, it's a trick. We always use it. When from Europe somebody is criticizing Israel, then we bring up the Holocaust.
It's a trick. We always use it.
When in this country people are criticizing Israel, then they are anti-Semitic. And the organization is strong and has a lot of money, and the ties between Israel and the American Jewish establishment are very strong, and they are strong in this country. As you know, they have power, which it's okay, they are talented people and they have power, money and media and other things. And their attitude is Israel, my country, right or wrong, the identification. And they are not ready to hear criticism. And it's very easy to blame people who criticize certain acts of the Israeli government as anti-Semitic, and to bring up the Holocaust and the suffering of the Jewish people. And that justify everything we do to the Palestinians.
Wow.
Public Yemeni number one.
And wrong man.
Often when there is dissent expressed in the United States against policies of the Israeli government.
There you go. Sorry about that, guys. For some reason, I ended up changing one of the buttons here on accident. Anyways, really, really, really interesting shit. Like, just laid it all out there. This is how we manipulate people. And, you know, I'm starting to see it all across the board now. You know, and I have been seeing it. And I think I'm starting to see that. I'm hoping more and more people are waking up to it. But it doesn't seem like it. Because, you know, everywhere I look around, I see people just being okay with supporting a fucking leader that really is a piece of shit. Like when Trump was in office, it was just deafening to see how many conservatives and my conservative friends just become idiots all of a sudden. They just all of a sudden became shills for Trump. Nothing Trump did could be criticized. Everything was protected. All the fucking bullshit, racist stuff he said, the way he divided us and got us to fight over each other internally in our own country. You know, the 400% increase in drone strikes that they didn't want to talk about. Yet at the same time, now that Biden's doing what he's doing in Afghanistan, they can't stop talking about how, ooh, you know, he didn't get us into any wars. So it's interesting. And I think it all boils down to shame, man. These motherfuckers just really know how to get us to shame each other. Right. Because like on the left, I know that if you go around saying that you're not getting vaxxed, you're getting shamed. Not only are you getting shamed, you're getting like a whole bunch of your friends that are just going to just talk down to you like they're better than you. And it's really just sad to see that shit. I got a friend of mine who, you know, had to do a blood draw for health reasons. And then he purposefully got another blood draw to prove that he wasn't having this specific blood condition that can happen if you get the vaccine that could really hurt you. I forgot what it's called. And I remember when he told me that I get my blood drawn, then I also paid extra for this so I could prove to my friends, look, I'm not dying. I'm just like, yo, like, and I love this guy, you know, but in this specific realm, he is a liberal and now he is hypnotized. So like if I talk to him about other shit, he would be very pragmatic, even keeled. If I was ripping on Republicans, he would be very focused. He would be probably really bringing up terrible things that the Republicans are doing and being right about it and really citing good information. And then when you start criticizing anything that has to do with liberals, where it's like whether you're going to get vaccinated or if you're going to support Biden, instantly just all logic goes out the fucking window. Everything becomes a defense. Everything is like, yo, you are wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. Who would you rather have? Would you rather have Biden or Trump in office? And then that's where we're getting at. Like, I don't know if you guys know who Dan Holloway is from Drinking Bros. Really cool guy. I met him in Austin. He saw me do a set out there. He liked my set. And we ended up talking and, you know, just shooting the shit. And next thing you know, I'm like talking with him online. And it was interesting to be able to talk to Dan Holloway and get his take, texting back and forth on Instagram in terms of how he views what's going on. The guy's got such a level head, you know? He's former military. He's actually seen some action. He's a smart guy. He really researches everything. He's not the type of person that's just going to be like, I'm all about conservatives and Republicans. He's not about that. You know, he really is about trying to figure out, you know, what is right and what is not right, and not try to bring polarizing party politics into it. So Dan Holloway is a really good source of information. He's very level-headed. He made this one post one time that I really respected, and he said that I expect reasonable people who are liberal to be perceived as conservative when liberals are acting crazy and vice versa. Meaning that he believes reasonable people who say, I'm conservative, right? At times when conservative politicians are doing ridiculous things, they will start seeming liberal because they're so reasonable. They're pushing away from how crazy their side is being. And I thought that was a very poignant way of putting it. Reasonable people, even if they say I'm a Democrat, will start to seem like they're conservative when moments of Democrats are being ridiculous and wrong. I think what he's saying is not that people will become conservative. I think it's more like kind of like how I am right now. I'm a liberal. But right now, I'm like, what the fuck are the Democrats doing? I've always been like that, but now more than ever. So now what happens? My liberal friends think I'm conservative. I seem conservative to them because they're hypnotized. They believe that if you're liberal, you have to follow a specific set of rules. Otherwise, you get shamed. And I think that is the core of manipulation. Shame. And I think we need to be very good at spotting that. And I think Dan Holloway was on point when he said that. In times that liberals are acting up, liberal people should seem conservative. And at times that conservatives are acting up, conservative people should seem liberal. Amen to that. Lately, I was just talking to him, and it was interesting because we were going back and forth. I'm going to see if I can pull it up on my phone. We were going back and forth about something. And I was making an argument that it was, that like Biden is not really in charge, so he posted a picture, a story of an Eagle, Globe, and Anchor, an EGA, which is the emblem of the United States Marines. And if some of you who know or don't know, I'm a Marine, so I served in the Marine Corps. And when I saw that, I was like, wait, what did I miss? I don't understand this. You dogging on the Corps now? He's like, not the Corps, their leadership, the Pentagon, the White House. He's talking about Afghanistan and how they really fucked this whole thing up. And I told him jokingly, I was like, hey, the Marine in me got mad. Then I saw it was you. And I'm like, I'm sure he has a good reason. He better have a good reason. And I told him what a shit show it was over there. And he goes, there's a shit show and there's dumping shit on your own head. Anyone who's ever seen a Ranger handbook knows how to conduct an airfield seizure and set up a patrol base. Any general knows you don't leave your biggest airbase and withdraw troops before civilians. This is day one shit. It is. That's why, like, when we fucking left out of Afghanistan, I was like, what? How are we doing this? How are we getting videos of just people being stranded? We just booked and left them all this fucking military armaments, tanks, missiles, stuff that they're going to reverse engineer. You know Russia's going to go in there and see some of that stuff so they could take it back and reverse engineer that. But then I told him, I was like, it's disgusting, my man. Makes me wonder who's really calling the shots, you know? And what's really going on? None of this makes sense. I wanted us out of there too, but even my dumbass knows you don't leave like that. I go, vets like you have served there and are really hurt by this because y'all know people personally that are stuck there and are now a target for working with us. He's like, everyone wanted out, but none of this makes sense. It's hard to believe this big a fuck up was mere incompetence. And that was the point that I was trying to make. But then I hit him up with this. I go, something else is up. I think it's always been safe to say that politicians are a smokescreen. They're only there for us to throw out our anger at them while the real motherfuckers in charge can dip out the back door with our gold. And I really do believe that. Now, he said, that's possibility. Or that's probably true. This is the thing that I want to bring that up, because I really do believe that the real issue is we are focusing our attention on the people that are in charge that we think are in charge, right? So, you know, recently I was listening to the Drinking Bros podcast, and, you know, they were really mad at Biden, you know, for handling this the way he handled it. And I don't know. I just think that that's part of that manipulation and that shame aspect, that we're putting all of our focus into one guy who probably can't even make a decision to save his life. Somebody else is making the decision. I think we hurt ourselves when we put our focus into one person. And I think that's just how the human brain works, right? That's why movies have one main character. Not many movies have an ensemble of characters. If they do have an ensemble of characters, there is one anchor character, because that's how the human brain works. You know, we love the hero's journey. You know, we're only really able to focus on one person, which is why, for example, you know, say Palestinians will kidnap an Israeli soldier, right? And put his picture on TV and all across and says, look, we got this Israeli soldier with us. This is his name. If you don't do X, Y, Z, release this many prisoners that you have of ours, you know, we're going to keep him indefinitely, or we're going to kill him, or whatever, right? Those terrorists, they understand. Or freedom fighters, depending on how you're looking at it. They understand that everyone can only focus on one person. They know that shit. And what does Israel do? Israel doesn't like one of their fellow Jews to be taken like that, right? And now that this one face of this one Israeli soldier is being blasted everywhere, what does Israel do? They will probably sacrifice even more of their soldiers to get that one soldier. A lot of the times they just make deals and just release a bunch of their prisoners, their political prisoners, or whatnot. But my point is that we are hardwired to look at one person. And I think that, like, you know, when I was listening to the Drinking Bros podcast, and they were making very good points about Afghanistan, very good points. But, you know, saying it through the lens of Biden, and I really think that it just makes it easy for us to follow, right? It makes easy for people to follow the actual information that's coming out, whether you're for it or against it, when you see it through the lens of one person controlling it. And I think in that is how we fuck ourselves. In that is how we really mess up and allow them to manipulate us. Because if we're just focusing on Biden, then we're really missing out the big picture. There's way more to it. Way more to it. And, you know, I'm just blown away by it. And I don't know. I just feel like we should try to go out of our way to stop looking at things through the lens of one person controlling it. Because when we do, we lose sight of the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is way bigger. Like, the fact that we left Afghanistan the way we did doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense. You know? I mean, let me cue up this video here. Really quick.
My job there was as a foreign military sales officer.
I'm going to fast forward this, get this to John.
That is incredibly hard to hear. And the thing is, she's right. Their ties to Al-Qaeda only appear to be deepening, and they're now even better armed. The Afghan forces fell so quickly, they left behind brand new boxes of guns and grenade launchers, which Taliban fighters have been filming themselves opening in the world's grimmest unboxing videos. Incidents which led to this exchange.
What happens to the billions of dollars worth of weaponry that the U.S. gave Afghanistan?
We don't have a complete picture, obviously, of where every article of defense materials has gone, but certainly a fair amount of it has fallen into the hands of the Taliban. And obviously, we don't have a sense that they are going to readily hand it over to us at the airport.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe assumption. But hey, we could always text the Taliban complaint department and see what happens. I'm sure we'll be dealt with swiftly. So here we are, 20 years of war and destruction, tens of thousands of Afghans killed, many more traumatized, and the overall sense that you have at this point is of deep betrayal. Over 71,000.
Wow. So, take into consideration, take into consideration how that is, right? Take into consideration that, like, we got this major fuck up, right? And everyone's focusing on Biden, right? What we need to do is focus on how did this get messed up and how do we rectify this for the future? But instead, what do we talk about? Biden messed up, or on the other side, I stand with Biden. And both sides are moronic. Because the people who right now, like conservatives mainly, who are going to look at Biden and be like, I can't believe this happened. If we were to switch the polarities and had Trump do the Afghan pullout, I think right away everyone would have just been like on the conservative side. Well, you know, it's really bad how things happened, but in the end, we need to, shore up our income, and this is the conservative thing to do. We're going to save money and blah, 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 or whatever the case may be. And then what happens? We end up blasting each other over one old guy who can barely keep his eyes open. I'm going to show you this other video. And this is where the manipulation really can kick in. You get dumb stuff like this, all right? So let's watch this video of Joe talking to the Israeli, the new Israeli prime minister. And he seems to be falling asleep.
Yet another chapter in the beautiful story of the friendship between our two nations, the United States.
So you see him talking to him.
And the Jewish.
And Joe Biden is just sitting there with his eyes closed.
Both of us who
sleeping.
Seek to do good and need to be strong. Both of us who are.
So this video here is being passed around. You know, as like, look at Joe just falling asleep while the Israeli prime minister is talking to him. Now, I used to edit videos, and when I saw that, right away I was like, wait a minute. That doesn't look, that looks like it's edited. And then I looked it up and did a little research, and sure enough, that's exactly what it is. They freeze framed him at a moment where he looked like he was falling asleep. He was probably just looking down. And then they put that freeze frame into the video, so it looks like he's just sitting there sleeping. But when I looked at that, because I can't stand Biden, I was like, hell yeah, good. Look at that, Sleepy Joe, actually sleeping. I could send this video to my friends and be like, see? Look at how dumb this president is. But then upon further inspection, I realize, wait a second, this was manipulated and people are passing it around like it might be real. And a lot of it comes from whether one, you want him to go down, or two, you're on the other side where you'll protect him at any cost. And I thought that was interesting. You know, I really did. I just found that really interesting right there. When I came across that video, because that just showed me exactly what I was talking about. And that is, even I got manipulated. I saw that and I was like, oh, for sure he was sleeping. But no, I was literally just being manipulated. And I guess I want to end this talking about shame from something that I experienced as an Arab. Right? And how we are like really, how it's easy for us to manipulate our own selves because we're so afraid to be shamed by our community that we will do things that are harmful, right? I personally, as an Arab, I criticize some of the things that I see within my community, you know, where I'm like, we can do better, but it's really hard to get a lot of people in a specific community to do better when they are living in this anxiety of possibly being shamed and shunned by the community, right? And I think one example I want to use is women in Islam. Women in Islam, from my perspective, in terms of like the examples that I saw, not all families are like this. It's a family by family basis. But if you're Arab, you probably know this story all too well. Okay? Very conservative Muslim family, very conservative Muslim neighborhood area, right? Family has to show face to the community. In conservative communities, especially in the Middle East, the family's respect resides on the daughter's hymen. She has to stay a virgin. She can't just be out there whoring out. You know, she can only have sex till after she's married, right? And I've seen women, and I've known, I've actually dated a girl who, you know, was divorced from an abusive man, and she should have never married the guy, but the family forced her. It's one of those things, like, you got to get married. It's time for you to get married. If you want your freedom, if you want someone to touch your vagina, it's time for you to get married. It's time for you to have kids. You're almost X years old. Time's a ticking. We need to show the community that we raised a good daughter who's going to get married and is only going to open her legs up when she's married, and she's going to have children to show that she's a good woman. Even though the guy that she married beats her in the basement. Now, I'm not trying to say this is everyone in that type of community. Of course not. Right? But you'll see a small amount of these on repeat, where you'll see it all too often, where you'll be like, oh my God, here's another woman forced to marry an abusive man. She's now ashamed to tell anybody because the family wants her to keep it together so that they don't have to explain anything to the community because of shame. And if the daughter comes back, a girl I was just talking to last night, who's Iranian, said the same thing. You know, like, they forced her to get married. The guy was a turd, beat her, abused her mentally, physically. She ended up telling the family, and the family's like, oh, you're probably overreacting. Oh, it's okay. You probably can make it work. And it all resides from this shame. And to me, like, when I'm talking about dancing with the devil, this is the type of shit I'm talking about. Just for the sake of not being shamed, we're willing to go against our own morals and against what we know is right, just because it's a hassle to be shamed. And I always thought it would only happen in religion. Like, when I was growing up in a religion, I was like, man, I can't wait to not be religious anymore, because I really hated being in this silo of people in an echo chamber being stupid and just regurgitating the same talking points and not even thinking things through, because you couldn't even think things through, because if you did, you get shamed. Kind of like in Islam and a lot of religions, if you question the religion, that's the devil talking to you. You should be ashamed of yourself for saying that. The devil has tricked you. And I literally thought it was only religious people. And now, wow, I'm now convinced that it has nothing to do with religion. It has everything to do with human beings wanting to be accepted in a grand scale with a big group And that's where we feel safe. And we will want to identify with a specific group, whether it's Christian, Republican, trans, whatever it is. And for the sake of being shamed, we will do and say whatever we need to be accepted by this group and not to be ostracized. And, you know, that's, I think that's where we're at. How you fucking get people to break out of that pattern, I don't know. But to me, it's just over fucking whelming to see that we're at this almost in every level. Vaccines. How much shaming is going around about vaccines, whether you get it or whether you don't, regardless of the data, you know, get vaccinated. I think you should. I mean, the more and more stuff is coming out showing that the majority, vast majority of people are receiving it pretty well. But if you don't want to do it, I'm for that too. Because if I'm vaccinated or have the antibodies because I ended up getting COVID already, the data is there to show that you, the person that's vaccinated, really have nothing to worry about. So why are you so concerned about if somebody else gets vaccinated? That's because shame. Shame on you for not getting vaccinated. Ugh. The pitchforks are coming. Motherfucker, what pitchforks are coming, man. Anyways, I had to get that off my chest. I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast yesterday with Michael Schertzer. I want to try to get another female on here. I enjoyed having Joanne Socrates on last time. It was very interesting to talk to her too. More females, man. I really need to get more females on the podcast. I love talking to women. You know, I love trying to, you know, understand how women are navigating the fucking bullshit that's going on right now. You know, and especially I love talking to women because I love to talk to women about relationships, sex. Like, you know, Joanne Socrates and I, we delve deep into that stuff, which is great. You know, I love it, especially as a man. Like, if there's men watching this, I think it's very beneficial for us to get into the minds of how women view things. I always try to like find out every girl that I date, and I just want to know more about how they view the world, especially through sex. And you know, the more I talk to women about how they view sex and relationships, the more it informs me on how to be better at dating women. You know, but yeah. So more guests coming up. I'm not sure exactly who is it going to be. I'm going to see if I can start like booking it out a few weeks in advance. Some other people, but thanks for tuning in, guys. Subscribe to me, Mike from Detroit, and Mike from Detroit on Instagram, Twitter, everything. Not only that, like and subscribe to the audio version on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you get it. And I will see you guys next time.